in Jesus' name, and amen. You're going to be going to Acts 1. You're not going to get too far in your life. You're not going to be get too far in your car if it has no gas. If the car does not have gas, what use is the purpose of the car? The car is the vehicle. The car is the transportation. The car is what gets you from point A to point B. But if you don't have any gas in your car, you're not going to get very far. The Holy Spirit is the gas. The Holy Spirit is the power of God. And it was so important that Christ send forth from the Father the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit come forth, that the Holy Spirit ignite us and fill us so that we can do the will and the work and the purposes of God. And let me just tell you that it takes the Holy Spirit every second of every day of your life flowing in and out of you, leading and guiding and governing you for you to live a victorious life. And when I say victorious, I'm saying victorious to overcome trials and troubles and situations, as well as victorious to operate in the gifts and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Zoe life of God, the very life given from the Father to His people. It's not given to the world, it's given to the people of God. Those who have committed themselves unto Christ, those who have laid down their lives and accepted the sacrifice of Jesus. The world cannot receive the Holy Spirit. The world doesn't understand the Holy Spirit. Yet the Holy Spirit has always been. And there's never been a time when He has not existed, for He is the very life of God. The Bible says that He gave us, when Christ ascended, He gave gifts unto men through the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is a foretaste, just a foretaste of better things, greater things. Just a foretaste of God in this world. To help you until you cross over to the other side. Just like a car isn't going to get anywhere without gasoline in the tank, we're not going to get very far without the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has been neglected. The Bible says, don't vex or sadden the Holy Spirit by which you have been sealed. Many are operating in the flesh and calling it the Holy Spirit. Filling themselves with the desires of the world while ignoring the voice of the Holy Spirit that would lead them to righteousness, that would lead them to holiness, that would guide them in the steps and the decisions of their life. Many ignore the voice of the Holy Spirit. But on Pentecost Sunday, and I pray every day, every single day, you invite the Holy Spirit to not only come upon you, but to fill you afresh and anew. And when you hear the Spirit of the Lord speaking to you, and you hear Him telling you, don't say that, and do give that, and walk this way, and don't go that way, you need to lift your hands up and thank God that He's still leading you and guiding you. We don't get very far without the Holy Spirit. He said it's imperative, it's necessary that I go away. I have to go away because as I'm in the flesh, I can only move certain places. I can only be at certain places at certain times. But if I go away, I will send the Holy Spirit. He will be your comforter. He will live inside of you. Ezekiel says, I'm going to write my laws upon your heart through the Holy Spirit. He said, it's necessary that I go away so the Holy Spirit will come, the Spirit of truth, the life-giving Spirit. He will testify of Christ. He will testify, Jesus said, of me. In John 15 and 16, you need to read all of that this week. You need to go back and read how important. He said, abide in me and I will abide in you. What is He talking about? The Holy Spirit, the life-giving Spirit of God living inside of you. And He talks about that in John 15 and 16. And even in 14, he's introducing the Holy Spirit. He's saying, I want you to get to know the Spirit of God. And I want you to follow His lead. In Acts 1, he says, in the former accounts which I prepared, O Theophilus, I made a continuous report dealing with all the things which Jesus began to do and to teach until the day when he ascended. After he, through the Holy Spirit, notice he said, after he, Christ, through the Holy Spirit, had instructed and commanded the apostles, the special messengers whom he had chosen. To them also he showed himself alive after his passion. The passion is the cross. The passion is him obeying the Father. The passion is laying down his life so that you could come into the eternal kingdom and to be in relationship with the Father. For all of those who believe the message of Jesus and accept it, that's his passion. The passion week is the passion of God through Christ. His sufferings in the garden and on the cross, by a series of many convincing demonstrations and unquestionable evidences and proofs, infallible proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and talking to them about the things of the kingdom of God. Christ had risen and he came back and he showed himself to them with many proofs, infallible proofs. People were raised from the dead when he was crucified on the cross and went back into the city and told people, here they were now alive. And he presented himself to over 500 witnesses and with signs and wonders and proofs of his resurrection. And while being in their company and eating at the table with them, he commanded them not to leave. Listen, it wasn't a suggestion. It was a commandment. Corrie Ten Boom says this. She goes, God doesn't have suggestions. He has commandments. It was a commandment. And while being in their company and eating at the table with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, of which he said, you have heard me speak. What is he referring to? He said, you've heard me speak of this. What is he talking about? He's talking about when he spoke to them in John 14, 15, and 16 about the Holy Spirit. He mentions in those passages how that the Father is the husbandman and Jesus is the vine and we're the branches. And how that we're supposed to be intricately in connected with that vine. And in fact, if the branches are disconnected from the vine, they're to be thrown into the fire. They're no good. What is he saying? He's saying if the life of the Holy Spirit isn't flowing through you, then you're no good to me. You do not fulfill the purposes of God, but you fulfill the desires of your own flesh. He said, be connected to me, vitally united with me, in oneness with me, in harmony with me. Me abiding in you, you abiding in me. It's a relationship. He gave us through the Holy Spirit the ability to be able to have a relationship with the Father. He gave us through the Holy Spirit the gifts of the Father flowing through us in all the people that are called by his name. He gave you gifts. He gave you callings. He gave you purposes. And he said why in Ephesians. It says this in Ephesians 4. He gave gifts so that it would be the perfecting of the body until we all reach maturity in the faith. Those gifts were meant to be used on one another, to help one another, to encourage one another, to strengthen one another. He said, it's so necessary that I go away because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. I want you to go to Jerusalem. I want you to wait. This is a commandment. Receive ye the Holy Spirit. And I'm just going to tell you, it's still a commandment today. Receive the Holy Spirit. If we go down to verse 8, he says this, but you shall. He didn't say you might. He didn't say maybe, if I feel like it. He said, but you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends, the very bounds of the earth. And when he had said this, even as they were looking at him, He was caught up in a cloud, received and carried him, a cloud received and carried him away out of their sight. And while they were gazing intently into heaven as he went, behold, two men dressed in white robes and suddenly stood beside them, who said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing into heaven? This same Jesus who was caught away and lifted up from among you into heaven will return in just the same way in which you saw him go into heaven." So he deposited us, in us, the Holy Spirit. And he said, it was so important that they go and wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit to be endowed. They had operated in the Holy Spirit. They had cast out devils in the Holy Spirit. He anointed them to do it. But then he said, I want you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I want you to be immersed in the Holy Spirit. To be baptized is to be immersed. It's to be submerged. It's to engage wholly or deeply, to be absorbed. Deeply to be absorbed. I want to kind of give you a little demonstration of what it's like to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. We're kind of like this sponge. We're all dry. We don't really have anything in us. There's no life in it. It's just a sponge. That's how it was. There was a shell. We're a shell. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the life-giving Spirit. We need Jesus inside of us, living in us through the Holy Spirit, the very life of the Father. And he said, I want you to go to Jerusalem. That's where I want you to wait. And he noticed he didn't give them a time limit. He said, I want you to go there and wait. And I want you to be faithful and wait for the Holy Spirit to come. So they were there in that upper room. And he said, and I want you to be baptized, immersed in the Holy Spirit. It's imperative. What does that mean? It's so, so important for your benefit that you be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Many times the Holy Spirit in the Bible is a symbol of water or a symbol of the dove. He said to be immersed. This is like us without the Holy Spirit. We're just dry. We're just kind of going through the daily things of life. But when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, and some of you, it's been so long since you've even felt the fire of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says to fan the flame of the Spirit inside of you. When you feel dry, when you feel weak, when you feel like you're going through trials or difficulties or trouble, just like I've struggled this week in many different areas, I would say, fill me afresh and anew with the Holy Spirit. Revive me in the Spirit. I need the Spirit, the life-giving Spirit of God. Jesus himself said, apart from you, I can do nothing. That's how important it is that we be filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost in the upper room, in one accord, as they took care of business and lived in that room and took care of who's going to be the next disciple and what's going to happen, the Bible says that the wind and the fire of God came in that room and flooded their soul and immersed them and filled them. This is in Acts 2 with the Holy Spirit. And it was dry, and it was without life, and it didn't have, it was just carnal. But when he saturated them, he immersed them, their every cell and fiber of their being was saturated with the power of the Holy Ghost. Immersed, completely taken under, completely put underwater, surrendered completely. Totally, completely surrendered and submersed in the power of God, to be led by the Spirit, to be governed by the Spirit. The Bible even says in the Amplified, to be controlled and led by the Holy Ghost. I want to ask you a question today. Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to guide and govern every single thing you say and do and think? Are you allowing him to lead you and guide you, even if it's in a difficult place? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to challenge the thoughts of the world? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to you even in what you purchase or what you buy? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to guide you on who you should have as your friends and who you should allow influence into your life? The Holy Spirit is God's life living in you. And we are to be immersed in the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, if the church is lacking anything in this hour, it's the power of the Holy Spirit, because we are governed by our own flesh instead of by the power of the Spirit of God. The Lord, when we surrender to God and give our life to Him, we're surrendering every part of us. This sponge had to completely surrender to the water. It had to completely lay down its life and give itself over to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's life living inside of us. We're to completely, completely give ourselves to God. When the tank of the car is full, it can function. When there's electricity in the wires, in the walls, and in the connections, and in the conduits, and I turn on the switch, it goes. We have to have the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's go read real quickly over there in chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all assembled together in one place. When suddenly there came a sound from heaven like the rushing of a violent tempest blast, and it filled the whole house in which they were sitting. Notice it filled the whole house. It didn't fill part of the house. It didn't fill some of the house. It's symbolic of our own house. This is the house that God dwells in. This is the house that of the living God. My body, in fact, Jesus said, your body is the temple. Paul said, your body is the temple of God. It filled the whole house, not just part of it. The Spirit of the Lord was meant to lead and guide us in our minds, in our wills, and in our emotions. We're not to be led by our emotions. How many have ever been led by your emotions? I've been led by my emotions before, and I've ended up in a pit. I've been led by my feelings before, and I've struggled. And my feelings are fickle, because one moment I'm up and the next moment I'm down, and one moment I'm happy and the next moment I'm sad. If I allow myself to be led by my feelings, I'm going to fail. He gives us the Holy Spirit so that our feelings are governed by the Holy Spirit. Then when you have situations in your life that are difficult or hard or challenging, and everybody's going to have those, everyone, the Holy Spirit will come to your aid and will bear you up and will remind you of the Word of God and His promises and His faithfulness. He wants to fill the whole house, your whole house, your whole being, just like the sponge is immersed completely and totally in the water. That's how God wants to feel us. And there appeared unto them tongues resembling fire, which were separated and distributed, and which settled on each of them. And they were all filled, diffused throughout their souls with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit kept giving them clear and loud expression. Now, listen to that. He said, it's so important that you be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send the Spirit of God to live in you. I want you to be completely submerged in the Holy Spirit. I want you to be engaged in the Holy Spirit. I want you to have your ear fine-tuned to the voice of the Spirit of God that's living inside with you. He goes on in Ephesians to say this. He goes, I don't want you to be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. But instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be intoxicated with the Spirit of God. How many knows when a person drinks until they're drunk, they're intoxicated. Their mind, their will, their emotions are affected by the drink that they put in them. He says, but I don't want you to be drunk with wine or alcohol or booze or drugs or whatever is consuming your life to where it's controlling your life. Whether that be perversion, whether that be pornography, whether that be too much time on the internet, whether that be too much time on Facebook. I don't care what it is. I don't want those things to control your life. But I'll tell you this. I want you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can get so caught up in the things of this world. And you can listen to so much of news and television and so much of media and devices. I mean, that phone hardly ever leaves our hand anymore. And we'll get so filled up with the world and all the things that they're saying and all the things that they're talking about and all the things that's going on around us that we don't even hear God's voice. That radio wave is disturbed by other frequencies. Have you ever been listening to the radio? And there's static that comes on the line, and you can't hear what you were listening to because there's static. And you're like, oh, I was really into that show. I was really listening to that, and I can't hear it now. It's the same thing with God. He's trying to speak to us. Our spiritual antennas have to be up. We have to be ready to receive His voice and to hear Him when He speaks. But if we allow all the things of this world to be the static that covers up our line, it's so easy, let me tell you, to become consumed with the world, because the world is never going to stop pressing you. It's everywhere. And the enemy is more than willing to tell you lies in replace of God's word. So it's so important that we have our spiritual antennas up of praise and worship, and we have the word of God in our heart, and we're reading our Bible. Because, and you know, people say that all the time, and sometimes I get frustrated. They say, read your Bible, read your Bible. The Bible is God speaking to you. And if you want to know God, read the Bible. I'll never forget when one of my sons came to me. Something had happened in his life, Daniel, my youngest son. And he came to me and he was just like, I just feel like something's different in my life. And I saw the changes. I was seeing God deal with him. And it was just so wonderful to behold. And I could tell that he had really surrendered to the Lord in a different way that I had not seen before. And he came to me and he goes, well, I don't even know what to do. Where do I even begin? And I said, read the word of God. It's God speaking to you. He started reading the word of God. And then he started listening to ministers that would further expound on the word of God. And now he encourages me. Because if you take a little seed and put it in the ground and it dies to itself, eventually out it will grow. And the Bible says a little seed, like a mustard seed, will become a tree, and the tree will be a place where birds can come and nest. What does that mean? It'll be a refreshing place for other people. And now the words that I gave him, he's giving back to me. Because the word of God never changes, because it's God speaking. God speaking. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Allow it to intoxicate every part of your life, to be completely submerged and surrendered and submitted to the Holy Spirit. There are times when I have to come against voices that lie to me, voices that say, you need to quit, you need to give up, you need to stop what you're doing, no one's listening, you don't do enough, you need to do more, you need to do more and more and more. And these voices have to be countered. How are they countered? By the Spirit of God that rises up within me, and the word of the Lord that comes out of my mouth. My worship, my praise, my humility. Getting on my knees and saying, oh God, fill me again. I'm going to tell you, I'm a long way from the little girl that went to the altar up in Powhatan Holler at a Pentecostal church where God baptized me in the Holy Spirit. And I'm talking, He immersed me. I was drunk on the Holy Wine. I was speaking in tongues and I was filled with His glory. But I want to tell you, I've had to go back to that well over and over and over again. Refresh me, revive me, strengthen me. Oh, I'm going to fan this flame that's living inside of me. The world has been pressing on me. Words and people, responsibilities and life, children and households, jobs and situations. They press, they squeeze the spirit right out of you. And if you don't refresh and immerse yourself back in that water over and over and over and over again, you will become carnal minded instead of spiritual minded. Listening to the voice of your own thoughts and feelings instead of hearing the voice of the living God. He said, be immersed, baptized in the Holy, baptized, just taken under and coming up with a fresh wind and fresh fire. Be ye ever filled with the Holy Spirit. Be ye filled with the Spirit. Jesus knew that to influence the world, to win the lost, and demonstrate the powerful life of Christ that had raised Jesus up from the dead, His followers would have to be filled with the very presence of God Himself, the Holy Spirit. He knew that they would have to be effective and not just simply talking about Christ and the kingdom of God. How many know talk is cheap? Anybody can talk. And some people don't talk enough. The Bible says this in First Corinthians 4:20. The New Living Translation says it like this: for the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk. It is living by God's power. The kingdom of God is not talk. It's living by God's power. Go to Mark 16. Just flip back a little bit to Mark. Go to that 16th chapter. Go to the last, to verse 17, and he says this: and these attesting signs will accompany those who believe. Notice he didn't say these attesting signs will follow pastors only. Notice he didn't say these attesting signs will only follow evangelists. Notice he didn't say these attesting signs only follow prophets, apostles. He says, and these attesting signs will accompany those who believe. Are you a believer today? These signs should be following your life. They will speak in new languages. They will pick up serpents. And even if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. And they will lay their hands on the sick and they will get well. Listen, he goes on to say, let me go back because I skipped a verse. He said, in my name, they will drive out demons and they will speak with new. When was the last time you cast a demon out? He said, these follow them that believe. They'll do miracles, signs, and wonders. It sounds like our life is full of everything except what it should be full of. You're going to need the Holy Spirit to go to school, to deal with people that are unbelievers, to be a witness and a light to them. Every gift that He gave the church through His people was meant to build up the body of Christ and to be a witness in the earth. He says these attesting signs. In other words, the kingdom of God is not just talk. There is evidence that you are walking with God through the Holy Spirit. Laying your hands on the sick and seeing people recovered. On your journeys, they had to encounter different things, and it still is the same in foreign lands. There's deserts over there. There's wildernesses over there. They're out witnessing the gospel. People encounter snakes, and maybe they surprisingly bite them. Remember when one bit Paul, he just shook it off and went on. That's exactly what he's talking about here. Sometimes snakes come in many different forms. Sometimes snakes are spiritual. And you have to have the Holy Spirit to recognize them and to be able to shake off words of criticism, lies, and things that people are saying about you. And you got to shake it off and have a good heart, because that's the fruit of the Spirit, which is love and joy and peace and patience. And you have to bear long with one another in the house of God. Even among God's people, there'll be different opinions and different thoughts about things. But by the Holy Spirit, we're called to love one another. That takes the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is essential. Because once again, the Holy Spirit is God living inside of you, leading, guiding, and governing your life. If Christ had not been raised up by the Holy Spirit's power, our religion would be in vain. For it says in Romans 8 and 11, and if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, you and me, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. It is the very life-giving Spirit, the very Spirit of God living inside of you that sets you apart from other people on the face of the earth. It was with Moses. It's the same with us today. What makes you different than all the other people on the face of the earth? Why is your life so different than everybody else's? Why do you talk differently? Why do you think differently? Why do you do life differently than everybody else? Because the presence of God is in and upon your life. The power of the Holy Spirit, the life-giving Spirit of God. I don't talk like the world. I don't act like the world. I don't get up every morning thinking, oh, wonder how I can go out and sin today. Wonder what I can get by with today and just, you know, still call myself a Christian. I'm not interested in that kind of things. I get up every day thinking, how can I live a more godly life? And when I hurt someone, I repent. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I know that the Lord is dealing with me. The life-giving Spirit, He corrects us. He helps us. He challenges us. And He moves us into holiness. The Bible said He is called the Holy Ghost. He's holy. He'll never, ever lead you into sin. Ever. He's holy. He will help you in every decision that you live in and you make. He will help you. He's called the helper, the intercessor, the one that pleads on your behalf before the throne of God. The standby, standing by. Just, Jade might need me in a few minutes. She's getting ready to encounter a situation at school. I'm right here, Jade. I'm right here. I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you my words. I'm going to give you strength so that you don't fall to that temptation. I'm the helper. I'm the standby. I'm standing by. I'm standing by. There ain't nothing like being in the military, Bob, and knowing that someone's got your back. You're getting ready to encounter a tough situation. You're getting ready to enter into warfare. You're getting ready, but you know that there's somebody that's behind you. Maybe you're the leader. Maybe you're the commander of that sect of people. Maybe you're a pastor or a leader on your job, whatever the situation may be. But all of a sudden, you know that there's people behind you, and they got your back, and they're going to cover you. That's what the Holy Spirit is, the standby. That's why the Holy Spirit will wake up mama or daddy in the middle of the night and says, your boy's in trouble and you better pray. The standby, the helper, has awakened the intercessor for the help of this child. He's the standby, the helper. He's the advocate. He's pleading my case. When the enemy accuses me, when he comes against me, when he says you ain't nothing and you ain't never going to be nothing, when he says you can't do anything, when he talks bad to you, when the liar and the deceiver and the mocker accuses you and comes against you, there is an advocate. That is Christ Jesus the Lord. And he pleads your case before the Father. I died for that one. You're mine. Get away from Satan. The Holy Spirit is essential for a victorious Christian life. John 16, I've told you all these things so that you should not be offended, talking about him being taken away and going to heaven and suffering on the cross. He said, I'm telling you these things so that you won't be offended, taken unaware and falter, or be caused to stumble and fall away. I told you to keep you from being scandalized and repelled. And he says this, and he's talking about trials. And many people in this world are going through this today. They will put you out and expel you from synagogues. But an hour is coming when whoever kills you will think and claim that he has offered service to God. We've got this going on all over the nations of the world. They're killing Christians in churches. They're beheading them. They're killing them everywhere around the world. This is the word of the Lord. This is Christ speaking to them and to us. And he goes, but I have told you these things now so that when they occur, not if they occur, but when they occur, you will remember that I have told you of them. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him. I'm going to the Father, he said, who sent me. Yet none of you have asked me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart and taken complete possession of them. Verse 7, however, I am telling you nothing but the truth. When I say that it is profitable, good, and advantageous that I go away, because if I do not go away, the comforter, the counselor, the helper, the advocate, the intercessor, the strengthener, and the standby will not come to you and be in close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. When I stood by my first husband's grave, the comforter came. I couldn't make sense of it all. I believe in a sovereign God. I believe he rules the heavens and the earth, but there are things that he's also put into motion. And these things will continue to roll on until he says, I'm done with it, and the Father sends the Son to claim his own. There are situations that come into all of our lives. We stand by the graves. We're hurt. We're wounded. A friend betrays us. They lie about us. They spread our name into the hearts of other people, causing a dark shadow to come upon that person and to make them seem and appear as if they're evil, when in reality, everything they said was a lie. I'm going to tell you, the Comforter comes. He brings peace to your heart and the ability to be able to forgive. Forgive. And to love. He said, you'll know that you're my disciples. You will know, the world will know that you're my disciples by the way you love one another. The Comforter comes in times of darkness. Maybe you lost a child. I know what it's like to lose a child. I know what it's like to have miscarriages and lose a promise and a hope and a desire of my heart. The Comforter came. You don't understand. There's so many things you're not going to understand in this world. And you're not going to understand them until you get into eternity when you see the face of God. And then you're going to have an understanding. But that's why it's called faith and not facts. It's not by the facts you shall see God. It's by faith. Are there facts? Yes. There are the Dead Sea Scrolls, and there's plenty of evidence that proves that Christ has walked on the earth, and that Noah built the ark, and that the things of the Bible are true, and that and in the Red Sea there's wheels, and from the battle where God judged Egypt. Yes, His evidence is all around us. Even creation itself declares that there's a God. And for those that can't handle that, or they question it and they don't understand it, I pray that they will have revelation, and that the faith that has been given to all people, they will use to believe in Christ instead of believe in the lies of this world. Because you will put your faith somewhere. You might as well put it in Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes to our aid and helps us through the trials and situations of life. How important is it to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? How important it is what I'm talking to you about today? It's everything. The disciples were going to be beaten for their faith. They were going to be beheaded. They were going to be sawn asunder. They were going to be mocked, laughed at, expelled from the synagogues. They were going to go through trials and difficulties and trouble. How important was it that they be filled by the Holy Spirit? It was everything. To be able to face death, you must have life. Life living inside of you through the Holy Ghost. To be able to even die to yourself and to the desires of your own heart, to do the will of God, you have to have the power of the Holy Spirit. To fast, you have to have the power of the Holy Spirit if God asks you to fast. To do the works of God, you must have the power of the Holy Spirit. To operate in the gifts, you must have the power of the Holy Spirit. To love your neighbor as you love yourself, you must have the Holy Spirit. They were going to perform miracles. They were going to pray for the sick and they were going to recover. They were going to cast out demons. And it didn't just stop with the apostles. All of those who believe. All of those who believe. It was important that they be immersed and overflowing with the Holy Spirit's power. It's the same for us today. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, I need Him more and more and more every day. Every day. Let's stand to our feet this morning. I'm thankful for the time when we celebrate Pentecost. I'm thankful that all over the world, people are celebrating the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm grateful for that, that we're taking a day to celebrate the power of the Holy Spirit. But what I want you to do is to tap in to the power of the Holy Spirit every second and every day of your life. You're going to need the Holy Spirit to be able to treat people right. You're going to need the Holy Spirit to convict you of sin, because sometimes we make excuses for our sins instead of dealing with it and calling it what it is. You're going to need the Holy Spirit to transform you into the image and the likeness of your God. You're going to need the Holy Spirit to get you through trials and trouble. You're going to need the Holy Spirit to pray for that loved one and they be healed. You're going to need the Holy Spirit to cast out demons. And let me tell you, demons are everywhere. And you better be more aware of the spiritual things than you are of the natural. You're going to need the Holy Spirit when you want to quit and give up and you want to back down, or you want to run and you want to leave, or you want to faint. You're going to need Him. You're going to need God living in every cell and fiber and portion of your body, leading and guiding you. You're going to need Him in your mouth. You're going to need Him in your thoughts. You're going to need Him in your will. When it says that the Holy Spirit is to govern your life, it means everything is to be surrendered and submitted to to God for Him to lead and guide and direct. The same way you got saved, that's the same way you got to live for Jesus through the Spirit. So Father, today, as we hear in this house, Your people called by Your name and chosen for Your purpose, as You, oh God, are speaking to us concerning the Spirit of God, the life-giving Spirit, the Holy Ghost sent down from the Father to declare and decree the Son and to empower and equip and enable us to do the will and the purposes of Your heart in the earth for all of Your believers, not just those in the pulpit, but in the pew. God, may You quicken us today to learn, to hear, and to obey the voice of the Holy Spirit. Thank You for all the times that You warned us when we were getting ready to go in a wrong direction. It saved our lives. Thank You for the times when You, oh God, awoken us in the middle of the night by the Spirit's power to intercede for someone who was struggling. Thank You, Almighty God, for giving us the Holy Spirit. And when we picked up the Word of God, we could understand things that we never understood before, because the Holy Spirit gives revelation, light in the midst of my darkness. Thank You, Holy Spirit. I submit and surrender to the Holy Spirit. Thank You, oh God, for when I got ready to say something or gossip or speak lies or deceive with my mouth, You dealt with me. You corrected me by the Spirit, and You reminded me of righteousness. Your Holy Spirit says, soon I'm coming. I will come quickly. Even so, we say, come, Lord Jesus. Your Spirit is reminding us to prepare ourselves for Your return. Oh, Your Spirit, Your glorious Spirit, Your life-giving Spirit, baptize us again, afresh and anew in the Holy Ghost. If there's anybody here today and you need baptized in the Holy Spirit, you need refreshed in the Holy Spirit, come forward and let the Lord minister to you. If there's anybody listening today online and you're weary and you're troubled and you're going through dark valleys and you don't know what to do, I challenge you in the name of the Lord Jesus to throw up your hands and to invite once again the Holy Spirit's leadership in your life. If He is convicting you of sins, repent. Repent. For only when those sins are under the blood of Jesus will they no longer have power over your life. And sin will make you its master. If you do not allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide and govern your life, sin will do it. The enemy will do it. Your emotions will do it. Oh, listen to the voice of God today as He's drawing you. As He's drawing you out of darkness into light. Yes, Father, You're drawing them right now. You're drawing people unto You by the Spirit. You're convicting them and convincing them of their sins. Their lives are broken. They're wrecked. They're in havoc. They're poor. They're in poverty. They're deceived. They're in bondage. But You're drawing them out. Demons have wrestled them. They're in depression and denial. Oh God, Your Spirit is drawing them. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Let the Spirit of the Lord apprehend you today. Let Him apprehend your life, your mind, your will, your emotions. Let Him lead. Surrender and confess your sins. God will be faithful to forgive you. Let Him come in, the life-giving Spirit, and let it push out all the darkness and the deception of the enemy. Be ye baptized in the Holy Spirit. I challenge you to wait upon the Lord and to ask Him, fill me again with the Holy Spirit. If you have not been operating in the Spirit, surrender again to the Spirit if you're a child of God. If you're an unbeliever and you've just now repented of your sins, ask the Lord to come and fill you with the Holy Spirit. Ask Him to lead and guide and govern your life. Those who are led by the Spirit are the sons and the daughters of God. So let it be. In Jesus' name.